Good morning, good morning. How's your Wednesday going? Hopefully well. So today I named it Christ the Divider of Men in Spiritual Matters. I think this is something that we're seeing more and more today than ever, is that not everyone believes what the Lord is teaching, and even within same households, unfortunately. And Jesus addresses that here. So let's start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Lord, so much that you show us the light. You show us your way, the importance of following you, and that we can share that with others and get even more to see what their future is could be like if they just follow you. We give you the praise, Lord. Help us today to be a light in a dark world. And help us to always be ready to tell others why we feel the way we do. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, continuing with this chapter, we'll finish off the chapter today. And so it's Luke chapter 12, verse 49 through 59. I think I'm going to go back to something I used to do where I'm going to read through the verses. Today, just read them to get a flavor, because there's only 10, and then go back and take a look at them individually. So, starting in verse 49, maybe you can take a look at the picture and see if you can see where in the picture these things might be talking about. I think sometimes visual aids help and to understand the Bible. That's why I like using them. And I think it's kind of fun because this particular artist did not write a brief on these particular series of paintings as to what he was thinking when he made them. So it's kind of fun too to try to discover what the artist was thinking. So I was starting in verse 49. I come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if I be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I have come to give peace on the earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. This is Jesus talking, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. I think it's interesting how detailed he gets in this verse here. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I'll talk more about that when we get to it. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be a heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee in prison. I tell thee that thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Lots of great meaning in a lot of these verses, and that's why I'm only taking 10 verses today, but I got a lot of reference material to look at. So let's go back to in verse 49. So you guys see anything in the picture that really depicts what we're seeing? I noticed jail was mentioned over, we see the jail over here. Not sure what this is yet. Maybe we can figure that out. And who you see a light shining, and we see two people, looks like in fellowship, sharing testimony maybe. Somebody here, I think this is this artist's depiction of Jesus serving food, probably maybe to the poor. And here's some more fellowship. I'm not sure what the fire means. And yesterday we talked about the whipping. And about the thief coming in like a thief in the night. We got that, figured that part out. And I haven't quite completely figured out this part. We're outside of a home, and it looks like they're people are, it's nighttime and they're welcoming some strangers from somewhere to their home. So let's see if we can see these in the verses. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? Aha, there's the fire, and there's the earth. Okay, that's, now we see that part. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I strengthened, straightened, till it be accomplished? So talking about that, we'll look at a parallel verse over in Matthew 20, 17 through 19, through 22. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart and away, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these two, my two sons, her two sons, the Zebedee children, were James and John, may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, of, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. That might be what we're seeing here. And then we've got a cup here. So that might be what we're talking about there. I don't know. It's not exactly correct. I see here, too, that there's an arm. Not sure what that is there. And this here also, I haven't quite figured that part out. Also the same over in Mark 10, 32 through 38, talking about this verse. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed as he followed. They were afraid, and he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he'll rise again. So we can see that Matthew and Mark was writing for Peter, I believe. So we can see definitely that at least two of the disciples remembered this and wrote it in their books, in their Gospels. Continuing in Mark 10:35, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, I brought this in here for that. It actually mentions who they are. Came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. So they're asking a favor. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in glory. Sounds like their mother put them up to it, don't you? Based on the Matthew account. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And then continuing on, and then we got some more verses in John to help us with this particular verse. Again, this is all based mostly on verse 50. Let me refresh your memory on 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened to be it to be accomplished? So he's looking forward to getting it over with, basically. One of those tough situations where it's tough to be God when you know what's coming. And the anticipation sometimes can be a lot worse than the actual event. But in this case, no, I don't think it is. It's a pretty bad event. Nothing I don't think any of us could easily put up with the way Jesus did. And he had the power to stop it at any time he wanted to. Okay, back to John 12, 27 and 28. Now this is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. That's a little pat on the back from God saying to the Lord, to Jesus, that I know you have to go through this, and unfortunately I can't change that, but you will be glorified because of it. also over in John 18:11, and said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? Basically, Peter was trying to defend Jesus from being taken to be crucified. Noble act, but he's trying to go against the entire Roman army. Well, in this case, no, it was the temple guards that were doing it at first. But Jesus knew that he had to go through this, and thank God he did, because that's how we are. Now we can be come unto the throne of God to be saved ourselves. It's because of what Jesus did. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So that's exactly when he said it is finished. It means that sin has been forgiven once and for all. And that from now on, all you have to do is accept what Jesus did for you. And you too can be a child of God. It's that simple. All you got to do is ask him. Okay, back to Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Boy, we sure seeing that a lot these days. And some verses over in Matthew help us understand this one. Matthew 10:34-36. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of their own his own household. Also over in John 9:16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Talking about divisions. Also in Acts 14:4. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So you see, it was even starting back in Jesus' time. Okay, on to Luke 12:52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Rather interesting verse in that. I think the reason Jesus went through such detail here is to make sure he didn't try to symbolize it. That is, these are real people, real division within the same household. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. Luke 12:54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be a heat, and it come to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Going over to Matthew 16:2 helps us to see this one too. I'll read verses 2-4. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Everybody has heard that term. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor delight. That's been around since Jesus' time. Matthew 16:3. And in the morning it will be fair weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So basically what Jesus is driving at here is the fact that that the Pharisees, he's talking mostly to the Pharisees here. The Pharisees at that time frame should have known that he was coming, that he was going to be coming at this period of time. And I'm going to talk about how they should have known here in a minute over in Daniel. There's a couple of the verses before it over in Luke 19:41-44 help us to see also that these Pharisees should have known that Jesus was coming at this time frame. So Luke 19:41-44. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto the peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. That verse right there is exactly why the Jewish nation, even to this day, don't recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Some do, don't get me wrong, there's Messianic Jews, But there's a very small limited number compared to what Jesus expects. And so that's the reason for the whole tribulation, is to help them to see the light. And he's finally going to, once they announce to him at the end of the tribulation and plead for him to come, he's going to appear. And they're all going to realize exactly who he was. But continuing here in Luke, verse 43, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and encompass thee around and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within the trees, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." What Luke is talking about here is a, and what Jesus is talking about that Luke's reporting, is the fact that this is the desolation that happened. This is one of the passages, and as we get into Daniel more, I may study this even more, but that there's three versions of this period of time, the tribulation period that Jesus talks about. Two of them are exactly the same, and they're in Matthew and Mark, Matthew 24 and 25, and Mark, I forget which chapter it is. The Luke version starts out and it sounds identical to the Matthew and the Mark version, except it changes in the middle and it says, "Before these days," and that's what I'm reading here, is before these days happen, and the days that Jesus is talking about was the tribulation. But before that is going to be another destruction, and that's what he's talking about here. It's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So some people like to say that that passage in Matthew and Mark is the same. It's talking about the destruction of 70 AD. And if you read it very, very carefully, you're going to see the difference. So finishing up verse 44, "And shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." And what's funny is that Jesus prophesied that in about 32 AD. And in 70 AD when it happened, what happened was that it was unintentional, but the temple caught on fire. And the temple walls were covered with gold. And when gold melts at a very low temperature. And so when the fire melted all the gold into the rocks of the basement, they basically did. They took every single rock off of all the walls. They disassembled the entire temple to get to the gold. So that this prophecy was made. There wasn't one single stone upon another one by the time they got done. But it was actually, see here, it was a actual punishment for them not realizing that Jesus was their Messiah. Now, Daniel 9, 24 through 26, we'll study this one in depth when in our Daniel study on Sunday mornings when we get to it. We're not anywhere near it yet. But I'm just going to bring it up here. This is the reason that they should have known that Jesus, when Jesus was going to visit. And I'll just read through it. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about it. But it's actually a timeline of the Jewish nation. And it starts off with 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish thy transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make it reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. This is like the prelude to what this prophecy. This prophecy was given to Daniel by an angel. And it's probably the most controversial to the Jewish nation. They don't even recognize Daniel as a legitimate book because it's so accurate in what it depicted that they don't want to recognize. It's funny, this particular chapter here, because of what it says. "Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even in tremendous time." That happened in Nehemiah, by the way. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the world desolations are determined." That happened between Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, where it says the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. He did it for us. And the people, and then it goes on, the sanctuary will be ended. That's what happened in 70 AD. So that's where this ends right now. And the future is verse 27. And this is talks about the tribulation. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is a week of years, so it'd be 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determination shall be poured upon the desolate. So again, we'll dig into this really well when we get to it in Daniel. But this is the prophecy that really spells out to the Pharisees. They should have known. This was in the Old Testament. It was a well-known book by the time Jesus was around. It had been written about 500 years prior to, almost 600 years prior to Jesus being born. And so there's no reason that they didn't know about it. And that's why Jesus makes it as hard on them about the fact. He said the same thing about us, is that we should know at least the season. We won't know the day. They actually were given the day. That spells it out. If you read Nehemiah, it spells it out to the day. And that verse 26, the first part of it happened on Palm Sunday, the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. And that there's a famous book. And I just finished reading it, called The Prince Will Come by Sir Walter Anderson. He was a man that worked at Scotland Yard back in the 1800s and was a devout Christian. And he wrote a book called The Coming Prince. And he spells it out really well, the time frame of how, right down to the day, how you could figure it out, that they should have known the exact day that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Okay, finishing up here in Acts 3:24. On this whole idea of the they should have known. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, and as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Again, more evidence. This happens to be Stephen, I think, or no, this is that famous sermon by Peter. Ye are the children of prophets and of the covenant with God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So again, now this is Peter actually in a sermon was explaining this to the to those in Jerusalem. This was shortly after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, how they should have known. Okay, back to Luke 12:57. Yea, and why even of yourself judge ye not what is right? For thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, and as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I'm sure that's what's being depicted here, now that I look about it more. So that he's being delivered. Oh, this is the gavel. Okay, the judge. There we go. Now I figured it out. The gavel being down, so there's the judge. In this case, what Jesus is referring to is the judge is himself. He's going to be judge, and those that don't accept his plan of salvation are going to be judged at the end, and they're going to end up in jail, or better known as hell. That's basically what he's talking about here. I tell ye that thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. So that they're going to stay in jail until the... And again, this is a prophecy about the tribulation. And so the idea behind the tribulation is the fact that when they finally realize who Jesus was, it will be about halfway through the tribulation. But they're going to have to go through the entire tribulation period and suffer all that time and pay every last mite, which means they're not going to get any salvation basically during that time until he returns, until you've paid every last mite, every last period of time. And that's more or less saying that until that 7 years is complete that I just mentioned in Daniel 9:27, that you're going to have to suffer through, unless you do accept his plan of salvation now before the before time, and you can be saved and go up to heaven and be with him during this time. So another good reason to accept the Lord's plan for you in your life. Okay, to finish up here, over in Matthew 18:34, I'll give some final thoughts. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So this is a Matthew version of that verse. And also in 25, Matthew 25, 41, this is the, again, the tribulation period here in Matthew 25. Then shall he say also unto them that on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. This is the famous goat and sheep judgment at the end of the tribulation. And I think that's what's being depicted here now that I look at it. If you look there, that's the pit that we've heard a lot about. So you're either going to go into everlasting life or you're going to everlasting life over here. I see what he's doing now. He's got this in the middle, the judgment. So this is the actual judgment of the picture. And then everlasting life shows it here going to, going into or into everlasting punishment of what do you call it? The lake of fire. Now I got the picture. So I think we got all of it. So that's all I had for today. And we will end there with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Lord, so much for the promises you give us and that you can show us that we can truly be a child of yours. And we follow you and that you help us every day to continue to look to you for all the things that we need. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, good folks, have a great day and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.